Thank you, Lord Jesus. Lift your Bibles up to heaven right now and declare this with me. This is my Bible. It is the infallible Word of God. I can have what it says I can have. I can do what it says I can do. And I can be what it says I can be. No matter what the devil says. No matter what the world says. And no matter what my circumstances say. Today, I'm a believer. Therefore, I'm a receiver. And I'm going to receive everything God has for me in the name of Jesus. If you believe that, shout amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Be seated in the house of God and open up to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. Praise God. You'll be reminded about this at the end of service once again, but on June 8th, which is coming up quick, we're going to be having our water baptism service. Amen. So if you've never been water baptized, you want to be water baptized, get the sign up in the foyer. Sign up for it because it's going to be a tremendous service. It's always a great service when we have water baptism. And I do believe that it's not just some religious act that we do here. I believe that God touches the individual lives who get the revelation of what water baptism is all about. And I believe in Jesus' name, just as Jesus, when he came up out of the water and we heard the voice from heaven saying, "This is my beloved Son, whom I'm well pleased." I believe that God is declaring that over every person who gets the connection and the revelation of water baptism, that God is speaking and declaring that from heaven for those who are coming up from that baptism. Amen? So June 8th, it's coming up. Praise God. Ephesians 4, are you there? Praise God. All right, we've been talking about these last several weeks about walking in biblical faith. And part of this series talking about walking in biblical faith, we started shifting over towards the miracles of Jesus Christ. Amen? Because that's what we're believing for. We're believing for miracles, right? You know, everybody's believing for something different. And one of the things that we defined at the very beginning of this, like, kind of little mini-series within the bigger series is that miracles are happening every time you come to church. Most people just don't pick up on it. They don't realize it. They don't get it, you know, because we're looking for the spectacular. Now, God does the spectacular. Amen. But God also does miracles every time you come into his presence. And, you know, when he brings answers, when he brings revelation, according to the scriptures, these are miracles. When you're believing for an answer for something, when you're believing for direction for something, when you're believing that God's going to, you know, talk to you, deal with you, bring a child home, bring a spouse home, amen, healings, miracle, whatever it may be, all these things, when God begins to answer, when God begins to bring peace towards, when God begins to increase your faith in, these are miracles according to the scriptures, amen, and it's these miracles that begin to build us even more in our faith. This is why God does have miracles and he performs miracles. Not just so he can show off, because he's God. I mean, come on, look around. Maybe not the condition of the world today, but if you look at the universe as a whole, he created that. He didn't sit there and form it with his hands. He spoke it into existence. Amen? Now, if this God could speak these things into existence, what does he have to prove? So he's not proving his ability by doing these miracles, but these miracles produce faith in our lives to continue to trust him, to continue to believe upon him. Amen? Amen. Now in Ephesians chapter 4, we've hit these verses, and I want to highlight this just for a quick moment, because last week we had our baby dedication service, so we kind of shifted the message towards more parenting and that deal. So I want to bring back to some of the things we were talking about. So Ephesians 4 verse 11, it says, "And he gave some," now this is Jesus, our Lord and Savior, it says, "and he gave some," which means not every person who calls himself one of these, we call them offices, is actually called by Jesus Christ, but some are. And it says, "and he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors, and some teachers. The reason why he gave us these is for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all," say all, "so we all come in the unity of the faith," which means a pastor, a preacher will never be without a job because everybody's got their own opinions about everything. And no offense, God doesn't care about your opinion. He doesn't care about my opinion. It's our job as believers to come to the unity of what this scripture, God's holy word, has to say for our lives. Amen. And it's my job as your pastor to just continue to bring this, teach this, show it to you, and allow you to begin to walk these things out so God can demonstrate and prove his word in your life. Amen. So, verse 13 again, till we all come into the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. God wants you full of Christ. Amen. He doesn't want you just having some head knowledge of Jesus. He wants you to begin to walk like him. How he walked this earth. How he demonstrated how to walk in God. He was God. He is God. But as he walked the earth, he didn't fly off the handle. He didn't cuss and swear. He didn't cheat and steal. He didn't skip church. He didn't attack his pastors. Amen. You know, he showed us by his example of what a believer, because that's the real term here. You know, we've nicknamed it, and originally it was an insult to us when they called us Christians. It was supposed to be meant as an insult. We just championed it. We are. We're Christians. But really, it's believers. Because we believe in him. And because we believe in him, we walk according to him. And we walk with him. Amen. Verse 14, it says, that we henceforth be no more children. Uh-oh, that means you got to grow up. Tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine, and by the sleight of man and the cunning craftiness, whereby they lay in wait to deceive. Believe it or not, there are people. That's their job in life. That's their goal in life. That they think it's their God-given assignment to try to trip you up. God will deal with them. Verse 15. But speaking the truth in love, the truth hurts. The truth hurts. Because everybody wants to hear we're good. Everybody wants to hear I'm perfect. Everybody wants to hear I'm the man, I'm the woman, I've got this. I don't need any correction. I've got it made in the shade. I've got this thing figured out. Nobody wants to hear, I'm sorry, sweetheart, you're wrong. I'm sorry, you're causing issues in your life. Nobody wants to hear that, but love won't let you go off the cliff. Love will try to grab you before you walk off the cliff and say, wait a minute, if you continue on this path, it's going to lead to death and destruction. This is what God's word has to say. That's true love. You know, the twisted love today says, oh no, let them figure out their own truth. It hasn't worked yet. It never works. We always need somebody to say, what are you doing? Have you figured out all the pain that you're going through? You're causing it? You can fix that really quick. Amen. But love doesn't just willfully let somebody walk off the cliff. You know, I use my little, my sister Pancake story. You know, we've got a long driveway. We live on a steep hill. And because of all the construction going on at the top of our hill and developments going on at the top of our hill, not only is there a lot of traffic on our hill, but there's also heavy trucks, and they fly up and down our hill. Now, when I first started this illustration, she was little. She's not little anymore. I think she's almost as tall as me, if not taller than me now. And depending on the shoes she wears, she's good today. But some of those shoes, I'm looking up at her now. But when she was little, you know, by the definition of love today, you know, if she's running up my driveway and I can see a truck coming down the hill, love today says don't yell at her, don't get her attention because you could hurt her feelings. That's my daughter. I'm going to scream at the top of my lungs. I don't care if I hurt her feelings. Because I don't want to be having the Sister Pancake service because I loved her too much not to hurt her feelings. And she got flattened by some 18-wheeler. Sometimes love hurts. True love does hurt because true love has something better for you. True love will bring the truth to you because it's the truth that will set you free. Amen. Not this false, goofy love that says, oh, just do whatever you want because if it makes you feel good, do it. Yeah, well, that making you feel good, do it, could send you straight to hell and cut your life short. Amen. But this is why we speak the truth in love. Now that you may grow up in him in all things. Say all things. All things. See, God wants you to grow up in all things. Not just your Sunday morning attendance. All things. And it says, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fit jointly together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth according to the effectual working of the measure of every part, making increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. So the goal of the fivefold ministry gift, as we call it, Jesus basically broke up his entire earthly ministry into five main offices that he anointed specific individuals to help you and I to grow into the full stature of Jesus Christ, but not just that, so you and I could come together and be able to serve together, walk together, worship our God together, and then one day go be together with him for all of eternity. Amen. And this doesn't just happen by the pastor doing everything. Everybody's got to find their place in the kingdom. Amen. Because our church is not going to get, the goal is not to fill our church with people. The goal is to make disciples. The byproduct of making disciples, the church grows. Jesus never said, go build a church. He said he would build the church. It's our job to make disciples. So it's my job as your pastor to bring discipline, bring correction, bring adjustment. Now, I can't make you do anything I say. You have to decide, all right, this is what the Word of God says. This is what the man of God says. So I'm going to do what God said, speaking through the man of God, because that's what his Word says. You choose to do that. And if we all learn how to do this together with God, then the church does grow as a byproduct of that. And more people are drawn. And because God is affecting your life, you're going to want to bring more people into his house so they can enjoy the same thing. Amen? And the church will grow. But the goal isn't to grow the church. The goal is to make disciples for Jesus Christ. Amen? Now, that only happens when we all get a hold of verse 7. Go over to verse 7. It says, but unto everyone, say everyone. Everyone. Now say, that means me. But unto every one of us is given grace. Say grace. Grace. The grace is the anointing of Jesus Christ. Yes. Amen. The Bible tells us, we know this, Old and New Testament, it's the anointing that lifts every burden. Yes. It's the anointing that breaks every yoke. Amen. And it says, but unto every one of us is given grace, given this anointing. Now, you cannot have the anointing of God without God himself. Christ is not Jesus' last name. Christ is who he is. Jesus, the Christ, the anointed one, and his anointing. They go hand in hand. You can't have one without the other. You cannot have Christ in your life without his anointing affecting your life. And you can't have his anointing affecting your life without having Christ in your life. They come together. Amen. He comes and he brings his anointing. And it says, but unto every one of us is given grace, his anointing, Jesus, according to the measure of the stature or the measure of the gift of Christ. Well, we just looked at the gift of Christ. Verses 11 through 16 is the gift and what it does. Now, the measure is what you draw from. You determine how much you're going to draw from this gift. See, Jesus doesn't just come in to a church setting like this morning. We sing a couple of songs. We get all excited. We bring an old song back in, and it charges the atmosphere and gets everybody excited once again in the house of God. Everybody's stomping and clapping and singing and praise God, hallelujah. And you think just because of that, God's going to just do whatever he wants in here? Nope. As soon as we shifted from that into tithes and offerings because you made a shift, you stopped drawing. Maybe you didn't. I'm just saying, if you did, if you stopped drawing and you said, all right, well, the anointing on the service was amazing and that felt great and that was awesome, but now I'm done. Then that's all you're going to get out of the service, feeling good during a couple of songs. Most people don't come to church preparing to draw. If you're going to come to church and you're going to prepare to draw from the gift. Now, the gift, I'm sorry, some of you don't like this, and there's nothing you can do about it because you didn't call me, but I'm the gift. Now, it's not me, the person, because I wouldn't want to receive this gift if it was just the person. I know me. Half the time, I don't like me. So I don't blame you for not liking me. But understanding that it's not a title. It's an office. But more than an office, it's an anointing. Because it's through that anointing that God is able to minister to those who are willing to draw from the gift. This is why we see in the scriptures, you know, that you have to receive the man. You got to receive the prophet in the name of a prophet. Not receive the prophet in the name of God. You have to receive the person. And then it says you got to receive a righteous man in the name of the righteous man if you're going to receive the gift from the righteous man. Amen. So there is a level where you have to receive me. I'm a prize. I know that. But you got to look beyond me, the person, and say, God, if this is the man you've called or the woman that you've called into your life to be your pastors, then I have to receive that person, that individual is the person to be able to receive the gift that God has placed in them for that gift to work in my life. Now that's the first part. You got to receive the person. Now some people have received us as their pastors, but that's as far as they go. And they're still not drawing from the anointing. They're still not drawing because they're still not preparing when they come into the house to say, okay, well, that's our pastor. Praise God, that's our pastor. And we're going to listen to our pastor, but that's as far as we go with it. No, you got to prepare to draw from the gift. So worship, this is what worship, you know, part of the worship is to help to shake off some things. Shake off the cares and the worries and the heaviness and bring us into the presence of God, because it's the team's job not to entertain you, but to usher in the presence of God. Amen. And they can only do that if they've prepared. Just because they had band practice last night doesn't mean that they've prepared to draw from the gift. And just because they had band practice last night doesn't mean that they've prepared to be part of that gift being poured out. They've got to prepare too. Because a lot of people can just do things because of talent. You know, not picking on our team by any means. I'm using it as an example. There are some people that they don't need to practice. They don't need to do. They can just pick up that instrument and go. And you'd never know. Because they've practiced so much and they've gotten so good at it so much that they can just hear it, play it, and go. And not miss a beat and hit every chord, hit every note. And it sounds perfect, but yet there's no anointing on it whatsoever. It sounds amazing. It sounds top-notch, but no anointing. Same thing with preachers. You know, we can be really good at preaching, but really never say anything. Now, we're reading the scriptures, so I'm not saying we're not using this, but no anointing behind it. So nobody in the house right now is exempt from this. Amen. Now, if God would put a demand on me to spend time in his presence, in prayer, studying, putting this together, don't you think he's putting a demand on you to prepare yourselves to receive what he was spending so much time to prepare for you? But most people in churches this morning will show up and never prepared, never got ready. So when they finally at the last moment say, oh yeah, I need to draw from. And they just sit there, okay, whatever I can carry in my hand, that's about it. That's all I'm going to draw from. Wow. Where others are showing up with their spiritual wheelbarrows. They prepared. You had to, you know, go purchase the wheelbarrow. You had to load it up in some sort of vehicle. If you didn't have a truck, you had to strap it to the roof of your car. I know it's stupid, but if you're going to do something like that, you have to prepare. You've got to push through some things. You got to deal with some things. Amen. And the same thing is true when it comes to drawing from the anointing of God. You got to learn how to be skillful on how to draw, what to draw from, when to draw from, and why you should be drawing from. Amen. But if you just show up and you think because I'm going to speak to you for a few minutes that something's going to change in your life, I hope you like the message, but it's not going to change anything. I hope you can go home and quote what I said, but it's not going to change anything in your life until you learn how to draw from that. And that's why it says, but to every one of us is given grace. That anointing is here this morning for each and every person, whether it's your 41st year in this church or it's your first day in this church. There's an anointing here for you to be able to draw from if you determine, I'm going to draw from this anointing this morning. Because it's not the anointing of Pastor John, it's the anointing of Christ through Pastor John. Amen. So we're going to keep dealing with this, and this is why every one of these messages, we hit these verses, because, great, we're going to talk about a miracle this morning. We're going to look at, I think, one of the coolest accounts in the scriptures of a miracle taking place. But just because you hear about the miracle, just because you can quote the miracle, until you learn how to draw from that anointing, you'll never enjoy this miracle yourself. And I believe that every one of us needs this miracle. Can you say amen? Amen. So with that, let's go over to Matthew. Matthew chapter 9. Matthew chapter 9. We're going to hit this in all three of the Gospels that this account is written in, bringing some points out of each one of them. And this is why we have different accounts in the Gospels, because you're going to notice there's different things in each one of these accounts that you can really zero in on. Amen. And I want to talk to you this morning, excuse me, about the woman with the issue of blood. The woman with the issue of blood. That's who we're dealing with here this morning. If you want a title for this message, I've got two of them. One is, If I May But Touch, or From Outcast to Child. Both of them fit. And I believe by saying, you know, giving both of you those, the two different titles I was playing with, it's because there's different understandings, different meanings, because somebody's in a different position than somebody else saying, wait a minute, you know, I feel like this outcast. I feel like I've been just pushed aside. I feel like nothing's going right for me. I feel like everything's falling apart. I feel like everything I'm believing for, everything I was told I could have, isn't happening. And I feel like God has given up on me, if there is even a thing called a God. And then others, they know there's a God. They believe there's a God, but yet they've yet to actually touch the hem of his garment, because they don't quite understand what that really means. Amen. So depending on where you're at this morning, in Jesus' name, may this help you. Amen. So Matthew chapter 9, verse 20, it says, And behold, a woman which was diseased with an issue of blood 12 years, say 12 years, you think that sniffle you had for 3 days was brutal. 12 years. It says a woman with the issue of blood for 12 years came behind him and touched the hem of his garment. For she said within herself, If I may touch his garment, I shall be made whole. She said. Jesus didn't say. Jesus wasn't up there preaching, say, listen, guys, the anointing is flowing right now. This is how God wants to move right now. If all of you fall to the ground and touch the hem of my garment, you'll be healed. In fact, Jesus isn't even thinking about this woman right now. At least in the context. We know that God is thinking about us each and every moment of each and every day. But Jesus is on assignment here. If you know the scriptures, you know your Bible, he's going out to eventually raise a young child from the dead. He's going to deal with Jairus' daughter, who's sick unto death and does die in the process. That's where he's going. That's his assignment. That's where he is going right now. That's where his ministry is focused. So the ministry right now, his preaching right now, his assignment right now isn't on this woman. But she said within herself, if I could just touch the hem of his garment, I'll be made whole. Verse 22, it says, But Jesus turned him about, and when he saw her, he said, Daughter, be of good cheer, thy faith has made thee whole. And the woman was made whole from that hour. Praise God. That's a short version of the account. But I wanted to start here for this reason. She said within herself, If I may touch. Now again, our modern English is pretty, it's kind of weird. You'd think it's modern, it'd be, you know, pretty advanced. It's actually pretty primitive, compared to the Koine Greek, the Aramaic, and the Hebrew that we have in our scriptures. This word touch doesn't just simply mean to touch. It means to attach oneself to. She said within herself, if I can just get close enough to him to attach myself to him, to attach myself. This isn't just a brief moment. This isn't just if I can just kind of brush up. This isn't if I just show up on a Sunday morning. This isn't if I can just be there for 15 minutes, all my problems will go away. No, she said within herself, if I can attach myself to him, if I can get close enough to him that I can actually attach myself to him, I'll be made whole. See, most people don't attach themselves to Jesus. They just want a touch. And they want our primitive, just touch. That's it. I'm good. Just give me a touch. I just want to feel good for a moment. I just want a goosebump. I just want you to, you know, may the hair stand up on my arms just for a moment. May I feel good. May I feel a little shaky for a moment. May I have that excitement for a moment. But that's all they want is a moment. This attachment isn't just a momentary thing. This attachment is I'm going to attach myself to him and I'm not letting go. I'm not letting go until I have that thing that I need. Now, yes, she's got a physical ailment, but the thing that we need is not just our physical, not our temporal. This is our eternal. Lord, I'm attaching myself to you because I need your full plan of salvation in my life. Because I need to know when I leave this place, I'm going to be with you forever. So I'm attaching myself to you, not just simply touching you for a moment, feeling good for a moment. Because I'm going to help you right now. You walk with Jesus, you're not going to feel good every day. You're going to have good days, you're going to have bad days. You're going to have up days, you're going to have down days. You're going to have days where everything's going great, and you're going to have days where it feels like all hell is breaking loose. And let me help you with something. Red letters in your Bible, Jesus said it. In this life you shall have tribulation. But be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. So even though we go through things in life, we can be of good cheer. We can look up saying, all right, Lord, we're going through something right now, but we're going through this. I'm not going through this alone. We're going through this, and we're coming out on the other side better. So though I may be going through something right now, I know victory is right around the corner. Amen. So she said within herself, she didn't say up in her head. She said in here. If I can just touch, if I can attach myself to him. Amen. This is the difference between religion and relationship. Religion is just showing up, doing the same thing over and over again and having no change in your life. It's a bunch of do's and don'ts without any power and authority to do the do's and don't do the don'ts. Believing for things that never ever happen. Right? That's all religion ever produces. But a relationship with Jesus Christ gets you into that position where you're connected and attached to him. That he's with you every step of the way. His anointing is present for every situation, every issue, the good and the bad. It's one thing to have his anointing, you know, when you're going through stuff, you need it. But how about his anointing when things are going good? Amen? You know, we think that all this stuff with Jesus is only for the bad stuff. No, God's present. He wants to be present in the good stuff. He wants his anointing with you every single day, every moment of every day. But you determine how much of that anointing will be in your life by how much you draw from the anointing in the presence of God. Amen? Now go over to Mark. Mark chapter 5. Mark chapter 5. Mark chapter 5, verse 25. Mark 5, 25. Same account, just from Mark's perspective. And it says, a certain woman, which had an issue of blood 12 years, and had suffered many things of many physicians. Pause. They still say it today, and you hear me say it. I praise God for our medical. I thank God for our medical. I believe they're anointed and appointed by God because you can't do half the stuff they do unless God is working with them. Right. You'll never convince me otherwise. So I believe, I pray for our doctors. I thank God for our doctors. But they still say they're practicing medicine. Right. Who do you think they're practicing on? Yeah. So in this 26, it says, and she suffered many things of many physicians. Suffered many things of many physicians. Now I was curious, and I was like, all right, you know, I've read that, I don't know, 40 years almost. And I'm like, what things would she have suffered? So I was just curious. I'm like, all right, I'm not just going to find people's opinions. I started going to some medical sites. and it started studying, just looking up some medical history. Now, in this time period, in this day, the Romans and the Grecians, they were very, you know, very advanced cultures as far as all the stuff they were doing, but also weird in a lot of other areas. And in this day and in this setting, you know, because she's got a woman issue. She's bleeding. 12 years nonstop. That's a problem. Now, and as advanced as their medical was, you know, 2,000 years ago, they obviously didn't have some things nailed down. You know, in some instances and in places, they would look at situations like this and they would say that her internals are just floating around and moving around her body, that they somehow detach themselves and they're just floating around, not doing what they're supposed to, and that's why this issue is happening. Sounds weird to us. Because lady parts just don't decide, we're going to move around. But that's what they believed. So because of that, and this is straight from a medical report, it says, throughout history, medical treatments for these female problems range from hanging women upside down, shaking them to return the uterus to its rightful place, putting leeches. I'll just stop there. But that's from Yale Medical. That's not just somebody making up their own. This is what the medical feels. These are the practices back in that day. To give a little bit more context, when it says that she suffered, never mind the issue she had, she suffered at the hands of the physicians. They weren't evil people. They're trying to do the best that they can for what they have and what they know. So when the Bible says that she suffered, come on, if these are the practices, never mind what she was dealing with. And then it says that many physicians and spent all that she had. She paid for this. And was nothing bettered, but rather grew worse. You think? If they're doing that type of stuff to a human being, yeah, I don't see you getting better anytime soon. But I love this. It says, but when she had heard of Jesus, what did she hear? She heard the gospel. She heard that Jesus was the Savior. She heard that Jesus was in the healing business, because that's what Savior is. Saved, healed, delivered, made whole, made to prosper. That's what that word Savior, sozo, that's what it means. It carries those meanings. He came to heal her. She began to hear the gospel. She began to hear the good news. She heard a report that nobody else was giving her. She heard something that nobody else was telling her. All the physicians. I'm sure she had neighbors. I'm sure she had family members. Well, if you just do this, if you just do this, if you do that, well, this is why. She had everybody's opinion. Well, Pastor, it doesn't say that. Come on. You think things have changed? You have one little issue in your life, and it's amazing how everybody has an opinion on what you need to do to get what you need. And most of them are wrong. But it's somebody's opinion. And most of them, they've never experienced these things on their own. I heard my uncles used to say, I remember there's a movie and I don't remember really the reference, but I just remember this guy got a pimple or somebody got a pimple and the father said, put Windex on it. Where'd you come up with that? I can hear you. So some of you know the movie reference. Everybody's got an opinion about something. You can't tell me that this woman wasn't hearing everything from everybody. And even at the professionals, I'm sure at some point, maybe year one, no, we're going to fix this. It's going to be good. Year two, three, four, 10, 12. I'm sure at some point the doctors were probably saying, you know what, we're going to try, but we don't think this is ever going to change. I'm sure her own family is saying, you've been dealing with this all your life now, so nothing's ever going to change. This thing has marked you for life. This thing has marred you for life. This thing has altered you for life. Nothing's ever going to change. Now let's also step into the culture of the day because of what she's going through. According to the Levitical law of the day, she's not allowed to go into the temple. She's not allowed to go to church. She's not allowed to be in society. because there are reasons for this and proper, but because she is now considered unclean. She's considered so unclean that if somebody comes in contact with her, that person will now be defiled. And now there's a proper cleansing process that they have to separate themselves from society. They've got to go away. She's been living this for 12 years. Do you think for a second that she's just happy?
No.
I'm sure she's so beaten down, tormented within herself. I'm sure she's got family members that have turned their backs on her. If she was married, she can't touch her husband.
Right.
And if she's not and believing for one, she can't even think about that. She's watching all of her friends grow and go, and she can't do anything. She can't be part of society.
Wow.
I'm sure depression has gotten in here. I'm sure aggravation has gotten in here. I'm sure some anger has gotten in here. How about bitterness? How about resentment? Bitterness, resentment towards her family for maybe turning their backs because she can't be around anybody. How about the physicians with all that they've done? You think that she doesn't have an attitude problem now?
Wow.
Come on. Well, Pastor, it doesn't say that. Just look around at some people that you know. When they haven't received the healing that they're believing for, that miracle they're believing for, they're going through financial things, physical things, and it starts to adjust your personality. It starts to adjust your attitude. This woman is in a bad spot. 12 years. But she begins to hear that there's one. That doesn't have to experiment on her,
right.
Practice on her. That the healing anointing of Jesus Christ is working and healing everybody with any sickness, any disease. She begins to hear. You think maybe that she was beginning to get a little resentful towards God? Come on. This is an Israelite. They all believed in God. They all believed in Jehovah. You think that she's not questioning where her God is, why she's still going through this? I'm sure she's going, I did nothing wrong. Why am I suffering this? I haven't done anything. Why has this happened to me? Come on. She's human, just like all of us. And yet she heard something. She didn't hear somebody's truth of the day. She didn't hear, well, it's your truth, my truth, let it just be whatever truth we want. She heard the truth of the true one. She heard the gospel of Jesus Christ. She heard that Jesus was going about healing all, not some, all. Everywhere he went, it didn't matter what sickness, what disease, what ailment, what demon, they were being set free, delivered, and healed. He healed all. Amen. She began to hear. She began to hear. And because she began to hear the gospel, something changed in here. I think about David. David's one of my favorite people in the Bible. The shepherd boy to the king.
Yeah.
One of my favorite people in the Bible. One of the accounts I love the most about him is when he goes to the battlefield to bring supplies to his brothers, sent by his father. He gets to the battlefield. You know the account.
Yeah.
And he hears Goliath come out, mouthing off. And David's like, who is this uncircumcised Philistine? How dare he mouth off to the mighty army of the living God? Who does he think he is? But then wait, he goes, wait a minute, wait, whoa. Why are you letting him talk like that? Why are you cowering in holes right now? Why are you hiding behind rocks right now? We walk with God. We serve God. We've been victorious because of our God. Why are you letting him mouth off? It's amazing. And all of that, then he begins to hear something else. Because he says, who is this? And somebody comes, oh, this is Goliath. He's their champion. He's been out every morning and every night saying the same thing over and over. 40 days and 40 nights saying the same thing over and over again. You know, that 40 days and 40 nights in that context, that was added by the writers of the scriptures. Because that term 40 days and 40 nights was a terminology, a common phrase of the day. It meant a long extended period that seemed like no end. Now, whether we take that literal, that it was 40 days and 40 nights, but we can look at it the same way, it was a season that seemed like it had no end. That here comes this guy mouthing off.
Yeah,
the army of the living God, hiding in foxholes, hiding behind rocks, terrified, forgetting who their God is.
Right.
So one guy begins to say to David, well, this is him and this is what he's doing. But the king said, if somebody shuts him up, He'd pay off all his father's debts. They'd get their lands back. They'd have to no more taxes. And that man would get the daughter's hand in marriage. Wait a minute. Whoa, say that again. Come on, he's a teenager. Any teenage boy. Whoa. I can get the princess. I don't think he cared about the farm. I don't think he cared about the taxes. It was the princess. Whoa. I can marry the princess? I've been playing with sheep and I can marry the princess? Well, tell me that again. Say that again. What did you say? Whoever shuts him up gets all these blessings? All I got to do is shut him up? Well, I've shut up the lion and I've shut up the bear. Because I know who my God is. And if my God helped me with that, God will help me with this. Everybody's hearing the same report, but only one person heard the report. Truly heard it, because it got inside of David and said, wait a minute, I can deal with this. I've dealt with this before. And of course, you know the rest of the story. Everybody got ticked off at him. It shows the state that Saul was in when he's like, yeah, go ahead, whatever, we're all doomed anyways. And David shuts that Goliath up. Amen? Because he heard something. He heard the same report everybody else was hearing. But he grabbed a hold of that report. He began to draw the anointing from that report. He began to draw and say, wait a minute, there's something in this that God is doing right now. There's something in this that God has promised even to me right now. I may be some little shepherd boy, but you know what? My God is still God. And if nobody else wants this, I'll go after this. Here she is going. She begins to hear the report. She begins to hear. It says that when she had heard of Jesus. Heard what? Well, this is who Jesus is to me today. Who cares who he is to you? No offense. What does God say about his son? What did the scriptures say about this Jesus? Well, this Jesus is God Almighty. This Jesus is the healer, not was, is. This Jesus is the deliverer. This Jesus is the Almighty. He is the Alpha. He is the Omega. He is the beginning. He is the end. He is the everlasting. He is the Ancient of Days. He's always been and will always be. He's the one who created the universe, and he's the author and finisher of your faith. He's the one who said that he can do the impossible through you because he's the God of the impossible. That's who this Jesus is. Who cares what people say? That's what the Bible says that Jesus is. And God keeps proving that over and over again. She heard what nobody else was hearing. And she said within herself, for she said, if I may touch but his clothes, if I can just get close enough to him and touch, I shall be made whole. Verse 29, and straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt her body that she was healed of the plague. See, you know when the anointing of God has touched you. You know when the anointing of God is working on you. She knew within herself instantly when she got close enough. But now, we know this, only because we preach so many times out of this. You know, when we read these stories and we read these accounts, it almost seems like, oh, here she is, like me to Angel right now, me to Fatima right now. She was just able, oh, there's Jesus. I'm going to just walk right up to him. No, because we're about to read in just a moment that Jesus said, whoa, who touched me? And the disciples are like, are you kidding me? There's a crowd around him. She had to purpose. And to get to the hem of his garment, which is on the ground, she had to crawl to get there. And Jesus immediately, verse 30 says, Jesus immediately, knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, anointing. Somebody got a hold of his anointing. Somebody purposed to draw from the anointing. Somebody said, if I can get close enough to him, I'll be able to extract some of that anointing for this miracle that I need. And immediately knowing within himself that the virtue had gone out of him, turned him about in the press. Now that's not the media. That means the crowd. And said, who touched my clothes? Who touched me? See, my question to maybe question, challenge, a lot of people are saying, well, I'm trying to touch Jesus. But the real question is he saying you're touching him? Has he felt you draw from him? Has he felt you prepare yourself to say, I need something from my Jesus today? That I'm coming to church prepared to draw something. I don't care what it is. I'm drawing something from my Savior today. Amen. He says, who touched my clothes? And the disciples said unto him, thou seest the multitude thronging thee, and sayest thou, who touched me? In other words, Lord, are you kidding us right now? There are so many people around here, we can barely keep our hands on you. They're pushing you. They're grabbing at you. Everybody's touching you. And he said, no, not everybody's touching me. Only one person in this whole crowd, only one person has actually got a hold of me. Isn't that amazing? We don't know how many people were here. There were hundreds, maybe thousands of people, easily. Because wherever Jesus went, there were crowds that followed him. So hundreds, thousands of people pressing, grabbing, and yet Jesus knows only one actually got a hold of me. And all of that crowd, now he knew exactly who it was because we just read this in Matthew that he turned around and looked right at her. He knew. So he knew who grabbed. He knew who touched, but he's everything Jesus did was like a teaching moment.
Yeah.
All right, everybody stop. Everybody's crying out that I do something for them, but it's amazing. One person actually got it from me. Now, let me take a few moments and explain to you how that happened. Somebody actually got a hold of me. Somebody attached themselves to me. Somebody got so close to me, and this isn't just physically touching me. Somebody got my heart because I got their heart. 32, and he looked round about to see her that had done this thing. And the woman, fearing, trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. And she said unto him, daughter. Now, before this, she's an outcast. She's not even allowed in the public sector. By the law of the day, because of the issue she had, this was a death sentence. Because had she been caught in public, she was supposed to be dragged out of the city because she's got a disease. This isn't just some monthly deal she's got. There's something seriously wrong with her. And by the law of the day, she should have been dragged out of the city to protect the city and stoned to death because she violated the quarantine. And to make sure it doesn't happen again, and to show and set a standard in the public square, we can't tolerate this because this could spread. It could kill many. They didn't do that out of hate. They did that out of protection. They did it out of love. It sounds weird to us today, but when you don't have what today, then you did what you had to do to protect. It was a death sentence for her had she been caught. You can't tell me somebody didn't recognize her. You can't tell me that somebody didn't know who she was. That's why it says that she was in fear. She did not fear Jesus. She already had Jesus' heart, and Jesus had her heart. She feared the people because now she's being called out. Now a death sentence could be passed on her. And Jesus said, you're no longer an outcast. You're my daughter. She went from outcast to daughter. Instantly, he says, thy faith has made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague. See, when she grabbed a hold of him, the anointing flowed from him, through her, healed her, but it did so much more than just healed her body. All that time I spent, do you think that she wasn't dealing with depression? You think she wasn't dealing with offense? You think she wasn't dealing with, you know, nobody will ever want me now? Here I am 12 years, you know, from, you know, maybe whatever age this did start, it doesn't say. But I'm sure like all the prime years of, you know, back in that day of finding a spouse, getting married, having children, all that stuff is gone, possibly. You think that stuff wasn't messing with her? And yet here Jesus is taking her from that to saying, no, you're made whole. Not just healed within your body, but I'm going to restore back to you all the things that's been stolen from you all these 12 years. that spouse that you've been believing for, if she was believing for a spouse, or the relationship she may have had with her husband. We don't know if she was married or not. It never says that. But anything that was stolen and robbed from her, God said, I'm going to make you whole. I'm going to bring it back. I'm going to restore it to you. That's what makes whole means. He's going to restore that which was stolen, that which was broken. Amen. And he says, go in peace. Praise God. But he's saying, who touched? And I believe he's asking that every service. Who's willing to actually get so close to me and draw from me today? Everybody's saying they're touching me, but I wonder who's really going to touch me. Who's going to really get that close to me to connect themselves to me today? Amen. Go over to Luke chapter 8. Luke chapter 8. Hallelujah. I love this account. Luke 8. 43. Luke 8, 43. And a woman, having an issue of blood, 12 years, which had spent all of her living upon physicians, neither could be healed of any, came behind him and touched the border of his garment, and immediately her issue of blood was dried up. 45, and Jesus said, who touched me? When all denied, when all denied, isn't that amazing? There's probably thousands of people touching him, yet now all of a sudden everybody's going, I didn't touch him. Wasn't me. But you guys are all there to touch him. And now nobody's taking... We're laughing about it right now. I'm smiling, but I'm not laughing because a lot of people do that in church. Oh, no, no, no. I didn't touch that Jesus. I went to church, but no. I'm not into that whole thing. They're too fanatical for me. They're too radical for me. I just go to make my spouse happy. I just go because my kids need to... I need to raise my kids in church. I didn't touch that Jesus. Okay. They all denied. And Peter and they that were with him, the disciples, said, Master, the multitude throng thee and press thee. And thou sayest, who touched me? And Jesus said, somebody has touched me. And I perceive that virtue is gone out of me. His anointing. Yeah, we've already hit this in the last text. But I wanted to hit 47. And when the woman saw that she was not hid. Why would that be in there? I'm going to tell you right now, you and I live in a day like no other. We know we're living the last days. And we're living in a day, as a pastor, I'm watching a lot of people saying, I didn't touch him. I go to church because that's what we're supposed to do. I was raised in church. We go to church. Hallelujah. Praise God. But I'm not really into this Jesus thing. So I just go to make everybody happy. I know because I'm supposed to, but I didn't touch Jesus. But Jesus is saying, okay, who's going to touch me? Who's going to get close enough? Who's going to connect themselves to me? And if you decide to connect yourself to Jesus, get ready for everybody to back away from you. Because it said that she was no longer hid. There was a crowd of people that she was hiding under. Now all of a sudden, everybody's spread out. And there she is all by herself. No longer hid, but there she is alone. But she's not alone. She's got the healing virtue of Jesus all over her. She's got the anointing of Jesus. She's got the eyes of Jesus fixed upon her. If you decide to connect to Jesus Christ, you decide to get yourself to that position and place where you're going to touch him, connect to him, be with him, get ready for some people to back away from you. You know why they're going to back away from you? John chapter 1, because they don't want their sins being reproved. They don't want their sins being exposed. They don't want them to be revealed to everybody and anybody that, wait a minute, they're not right with God. But the healing power of Jesus, the virtue of Jesus Christ, can bring healing, deliverance, and power to their lives. They don't want that exposed because they want to hang on to those little things because, after all, I'm perfect. You decide to touch Jesus. You decide to get close enough to him. Get ready for some people to back away from you. Get ready for some relationships to change. Get ready for some friendships to get altered. Get ready for some family members to mouth off. Get ready for even the society out there to say, oh, they're just radical. They're fanatical. They're out of control. Yeah, we are, because we're walking in the anointing of Jesus Christ. We're walking under the power of Jesus Christ. We're walking in the freedom of Jesus Christ, and we're enjoying the virtue of Jesus Christ, which is his anointing, bringing healing, deliverance, peace, joy, strength, and rebuilding and restoring anything that we broke, anything that was stolen, because that's what he does. And most people don't want to be around that, because to get into that place, to get in that position, you've got to make yourself vulnerable. This was a death march for her. This was a death sentence for her. Had she been caught before she got to the hem of Jesus Christ, they had every legal right to drag her outside the city and stone her to death. And she said, I don't care any longer. I have paid everything. I've given up everything. Nothing's working. Everything's miserable. I'm getting worse. Nothing's changing. If this is my last shot, may it be my last shot, but I'm going all the way. So I will either get my miracle or I'll stand before him face to face, but I'm not backing off, I'm not backing down, and anybody and everybody can say what they want, but I am not stopping until I get what I came for. Amen? She was no longer hid. Everybody backed away from her. Everybody said, oh, no, we didn't touch him and we did not touch her. We want no part of this. But Jesus says, you're healed. Your faith has made you whole. He's on assignment to go raise a young lady from the dead. Not even really giving her a second thought, according to the scriptures. But he has so much anointing, so much power within himself. He can go raise the dead and heal you without him even trying to. If you're willing to draw from that anointing. If you're willing to just connect yourself to him. And say, I'm not playing games any longer. I'm tired of the way I've been living. I'm tired of the issues I've been dealing with. I'm tired of running all these places and never getting an answer, never getting peace, never getting joy, never getting anything. But I'm tired of all this, but I'm just going to give it up all to Jesus and say, you know what? Whatever it costs me. Whatever it costs. Whatever it costs, I'm going after him with everything I got. And she was made whole. Amen. It says, and when the woman saw that she was not hid, she came trembling, falling down before him, and declared unto him before all the people. Declared before all the people. She's standing. Now, it says that she fell down, but basically it'd be like this. All right, here I am. You know who I am. You know the problem I've had. You know I've been an outcast. You know nobody wants me. You know that I'm a drug addict. You know that I'm a pedophile. You know that I'm not. You know that I'm, and whatever it is, you got to be clear today. That simple statement is going to go everywhere with the people who hate me, and they're taking all my messages anyways. It doesn't matter what you were. God is saying, I've got the healing virtue to deliver you, to heal you, to set you free in whatever it is. Amen. When it says that she was no longer hid, and my brain goes right to Romans 1:16. I am not ashamed of the gospel. She's standing there saying, this is who I am. You know who I am. You know my story. You know I should not be here right now. But I'm telling you right now, I determined within myself that I am going after this Jesus with everything that I got. And if it costs me everything, it's worth it all. But I'm not ashamed of the healing power of Jesus. That's why I'm here. And I receive that healing miracle. And I stand before you right now saying, I'm healed. And Jesus said, he didn't say, yeah, it's because of me. He said, it's because of your faith. It's because you did something. You went after something. You trusted me when nobody else was trusting me. Think about that. Everybody's touching him, but she's the only one actually touched him. He said, because of your faith, you've been made whole. Because you determine within yourself that I am. Romans 1:16. I'm not ashamed of the gospel, because it's the power unto salvation. It's the power of God unto salvation. For those who believe, Power of salvation, saved, healed, delivered, made whole, made to prosper. I'm not ashamed of this gospel. I'll never apologize for preaching this. I don't care how many people hate me for it, how many people leave our church over it. I'm never going to put this book down because this is the book that has changed my life. This is the book that has set me free from all my issues of my past. This is the book that continues to bring healing to my family when we need it. This is the book that continues to bring joy and peace to my family when we need it. This is the book that continues to bring everything that we need in this ministry because these are the words of our Christ. This is what He said, and this is what He's doing. I'm not ashamed of this. Amen. And the moment you begin to say, I'm no longer ashamed of this, get ready for some people to back off from you. Because they're not going to like what this produces. Because you have to humble yourself. You know who I am. This is what she had to do. You know who I am. You know I shouldn't be here. A lot of people do that when they walk in the church. I shouldn't be here. I don't deserve to be here. I shouldn't be here. This God won't have me. No, Jesus died for you. There is no sin that's so bad. There is no sin that's so big. And there's no human that's so good that we don't need Jesus. Amen. She determined within herself. And Jesus said, because of your faith. Verse 48. It says, and He said unto her, daughter, outcast to daughter, outcast to child, be of good cheer or be of good comfort, for thy faith has made thee whole. Go in peace. Amen. Now she had to overcome some things. A lot of things. You know, we're talking about how do you draw kind of several messages into one right now. How did she get to this place in this position? Because she heard a message. She heard the report. A lot of people hear the reports of what God is doing in the house of God, and yet they never seem to connect it. They never seem to get there. There are many verses that begin to deal with this. You know, we see, you know, in Matthew 7, verses 7 through 11, it talks about, you know, and it shall be given unto you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock. Amen. You've got to do something. Just because He did these things doesn't mean it's just automatic. You've got to go after. You've got to believe that He's going to do. The Bible even says in Matthew 17, if you've got the mustard seed. The mustard seed back in this day was the tiniest of all the seeds that they knew at that point. And yet when that thing bloomed and grew, it was one of the biggest deals. And He's saying, look, just a little bit of trust in God. True trust. True belief in what God is able to do. Just that little bit will produce something massive in your life. You got to believe. You got to trust that He is who He said He is. Amen. Mark 11 deals with, you know, you got to have faith in God. Whoever said to this mountain, be thou removed, and not doubt in his heart. Which means you can't be going back and forth between several opinions. You know, I wasn't being rude and disrespectful, but who cares what your family has to say about the things of God? You need to go to God and find out what God said about God. You got to stick with the book. Because everybody's going to have their opinion. Everybody's going to have their thought. No, let's just stick with the book because this hasn't failed. Ever. You know, even the promise in the scriptures, though heaven and earth shall pass away, my words shall remain forever. God's not changing His word. Even though some say, well, God has given them permission to change. No, He hasn't. Last chapter of the book. Anybody who takes away from or adds to, there's a severe warning. Do not touch His word. It'll stand by itself. It'll preach all by itself. Amen. And it's still working all by itself. John 15:5 says that Jesus is the vine and we're the branch. The instruction in it afterwards is, without me or outside of me, you can't do anything. She connected to Him. That's where that word touch. It's not just I touch, I No, it's she attached herself. Without Him, you're not going to have anything you're believing for. Or if you get it, you're not going to sustain it. Exactly. Hebrews 11:6. Without faith, it's impossible to please Him. And that when we come to Him, which means you got to come to Him, you got to constantly be coming back to Him. Amen. That you got to also believe that He's a rewarder of those that diligently seek Him. Not just once in a while. Not just once and done. No, you keep going. And you keep staying in that place until you get what it is that you're believing for. Because God is not done. Amen. James chapter 1, we've been dealing with this, you know, in a couple of our other services, but dealing with, you know, let him ask in faith, not wavering. But for he that wavereth is like the wave of the sea, driven by the winds, tossed. And then it goes on to say, don't be double-minded. Don't keep going back and forth. Well, God said. Well, my neighbor said. Well, the Bible says, my plumber says. The Bible says, my neighbor said. The Bible says, the internet said. No, stick with the book. Because if you keep going back and forth, you're never going to settle on Jesus. Amen. Then, of course, we've been dealing with, you know, faith comes by hearing. You got to be here. You got to be around. You got to hear the word of God. Sometimes you have to sit in a setting and just keep hearing it. It doesn't matter. 12 years. 12 years. And some of you give up on God after a week. 12 years. Sometimes it's you need to hear and 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 hear. How many parents in here? How many times have you told the kids the same exact thing over and over and over again? Saying, when are you going to do it? And then you keep saying it till they do it. Well, we're God's children. We're no different just because we're older. Just because we're either gray or no hair left. We're still kids to him. And we still keep doing the same things. So we need to keep hearing. No, he is the healer. He is the deliverer. He is our salvation. He is our provider. Amen. We got to keep hearing. We keep hearing. And just because you heard it and received it once doesn't mean you're done with it. Because that word prosperity in that context of salvation isn't talking about money. It's talking about advancement. It's talking about continuing or advancing in the things. He wants you to continue and advance in healing. Yes. Praise God, you got healed from that sniffle. What happens when cancer comes knocking? Right. Praise God, you got healed from, you know, or delivered from your mouth. How about addiction? God wants you to advance in deliverance. He wants to advance in healing. He wants you to advance in being made whole. He doesn't want to just fix, you know, your body. He wants to fix your marriage. He wants to fix those relationships. He wants to bring back to you all the things that he said that he'd bring back to you. Amen? Faith comes by hearing. Mark 9. Jesus said unto him, if thou can believe, all things. Say it, all things.
All things.
Say it again like you mean it, all things.
All things.
Say it again like you believe it, all things.
All things.
That means whatever you're dealing with, whatever you're believing for. If you can believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. But you're not doing this aside from Jesus. You're not doing this without Jesus. You're not doing this unless you get a hold of Jesus. And you're not getting this unless Jesus turns around and said, who touched me?
Right, yeah.
Who's got a hold of me right now? Who's grabbing on and not letting go?
Right.
How do you think Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego survived the crematory?
Yeah.
They grabbed a hold of God and would not let go.
Amen.
And even Nebuchadnezzar said, wait a minute, didn't we throw three in? Why is that I see four? And why is that fourth one looks like the Son of God? Isn't it amazing? A wicked king, before Christ even walked on the planet, recognized Jesus in the fire. They survived the crematory because they grabbed a hold of God and would not let go. Daniel in the lion's den grabbed a hold of God and would not let go. He was not ashamed. When the law was passed, do not preach, do not pray in this name, he opened up the doors and he prayed louder and more frequent that day to say, oh yeah, watch me. You tell me I can't honor my God. You tell me I can't stay attached to my God. Watch me.
Yes.
That's not arrogance. That's saying, no, you're not going to tell me I can't stay connected to my God.
Right.
They threw him in. He slept through the night.
Yep.
At least that's the way we see it. I don't know. Did he pull up one of those lions and use them as a pillow? We really don't know. All we do know is those lions didn't even touch him. And they were still very hungry the next day. Because the guys who conspired against him, the Bible says that when they were cast in, before their bodies even hit the ground, they were devoured. They didn't all of a sudden became hungry. They were hungry. That was common practice. They would starve those things on purpose. And yet, he stayed attached to God. And God delivered him because he refused to let go. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego refused to let go. The disciples refused to let go. Amen. This woman refused to let go. And every other miracle we see where Jesus turns around and says to him, according to your faith, because they refused to let go, God showed up and God did. And he's still doing that today. Amen. Can you say amen?
Amen?
Amen. Well, stand to your feet this morning. Give the Lord a good hand clap. Hallelujah. God will do it in your life. Listen, it doesn't matter what you're going through. If you're exhausted in life, how many people are tired in here? Not just tired of me preaching, but just tired. You know, life has just been beating you around, smacking you around. Amen? You know, I've said it this way, you know, when people, well, aren't you tired? No, I'm exhausted. I've been exhausted for 16 years. But I'm not quitting, I'm not slowing down, and I'm not backing off. Because I do know who to turn to. Amen? You know, how many just going through life and issues and family stuff and that your heart is just tired?
Yes.
Anybody ever been there? Come on, if your hand's not up, then you're lying. Yes. Or maybe this is your first day on the planet. Come on, you live and you walk this life long enough. There are things that happen in life. People hurt you. People betray you. Amen? Maybe you're dealing with some physical stuff. I know there's people believing for a healing miracle in their bodies. And it just seems like you're going and going and going and going and no answers are coming. But God is saying, grab a hold of me.
Yes.
Amen. Amen. Don't let go of me. Amen.
Amen.
Maybe it's your pride. I know I'll probably never get a, yeah, that's me. But maybe it's your pride causing issues. Maybe it's self-worth. Maybe it's, I don't know, depression, oppression. Maybe it's just life has just beaten you up and you've given up on some things. Maybe you just have that spirit of quit, that gloominess that's just hovering. See, God said whatsoever, whatsoever. Doesn't matter what it is. Amen. He's got the answer for it. He's got the miracle for it.
Amen.
Amen. I don't know. There are some people, maybe you've lost your identity in Christ because life, issues, problems, people. Maybe you've walked with and then walked away from. And you've kind of lost that identity of who you are in Christ. Maybe your family's falling apart. I don't say this being funny. I just welcome to 2025. Everything's falling apart. It doesn't matter what the issue is. If you say within yourself, if I can just reach out and attach myself to. Because that's what Jesus said. Attach yourself to. And God will bring healing. God will bring peace. God will bring strength. God will bring answers. God will bring deliverance. God will bring whatever it is that we're believing for. So lift your hands to heaven right now, everyone. Father, in the name of Jesus, we're all here this morning. We're your kids. We're all facing life. We're all going through this life. We're all dealing with things. Everybody's in a different place. Maybe somebody in here this morning feels like that outcast. Just nothing's gone right. No issues every time we turn around. Getting rejected. Problems. You know, nobody's there. Everybody's giving up. Maybe they're in that place where they're giving up on you. But they're here this morning. Maybe it's somebody in here that we're just dealing with stuff. We know to trust you. We're pressing through the crowd right now. It feels like we're crawling through the crowd right now just to get to the hem of your garment. Whichever and whatever it is, Lord, in Jesus' name, may you meet us right now. May that virtue, that anointing, that lifts every burden, breaks every yoke. May that anointing begin to flow in our lives right now, bringing healing, peace, direction, restoration, deliverance, answers, direction, whatever it is that we're believing you for. Lord, may that begin to work right now in the name of Jesus. And Lord, show us. You've done it with so many. You've done it for so many. May we get a glimpse. We don't go by feelings. We walk by faith, but it's good to feel things from time to time. May you give us that glimpse, just like when you turned in that crowd and you looked right at that woman. May we get that, a picture of that, a sense of that, a feeling of that, even right now, that we're not alone. You're here with us. You're on the scene. You're working on some things. You do care. We just dealt with this a couple of services ago. You do care. You're present and you're working on it. May we get that glimpse right now. Lord, may you show it. May you confirm it to us. May you deal with our hearts right now. In the name of Jesus, help us that healing virtue begin to flow in our lives. Lord, I thank you right now for those that are grabbing a hold of you, those that have purposed that when we come to church, we're not just coming for a service, we're coming for you. We're not just coming to hear a message, we're coming to draw from heaven. And may you meet us, deal with us, help us, strengthen us, encourage us in the name of Jesus. Can you say amen, church?
Amen.
Amen. Well, if you believe that, give the Lord a good hand clap. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Would you stretch your hands to the camera right now? Father, I thank you right now. Those that couldn't be here this morning because they're fighting some things off, they're dealing with things. Maybe they're in the hospital room right now, Lord, but I know that they're listening, they're streaming, whatever. And even if they're not, Lord, this is just our point of contact reference. Lord, I thank you right now that wherever they are right now, that healing virtue begin to work in their bodies, strengthen them, heal them. Lord, those that are dealing with doctors even right now, give the doctors answers, wisdom, direction. Nothing hidden, everything revealed, to be able to get them back to that place where they're strengthened when they're in their bodies. Lord, I speak peace to these families right now in the name of Jesus. And may they come home quickly. Father, we thank you for this. We praise you for this in the name of Jesus. Can you say amen, church?
Amen.
Amen. Well, give the Lord another good hand clap. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord Jesus.